वासुदेवाय. Reading from Canto 9, Chapter 8, Text 23. Repeat after me. Tam tvam aham jnana ghanam svabhava.
Tam tvam jnana ghanam svabhava.
Pradhvasta maya guna bheda mohai. Sanand adayer munibhir vibhavayam.
Sanand
कथं विमूढः परिभावयामि. That personality.
That personality.
Tvam.
Unto you.
Unto you. Aham.
Aham.
I.
Jnanaghanam. Jnanaghanam.
Your Lordship who are concentrated knowledge.
Your Lordship who are concentrated knowledge.
Svabhava.
Svabhava.
By spiritual nature.
By spiritual nature.
Pradhvasta.
Pradhvasta.
Free from contamination.
Maya guna.
Caused by the three modes of material nature.
Caused by the three modes of material nature.
Bheda mohai.
Bheda mohai.
By exhibition of the bewilderment of differentiation.
By exhibition of the bewilderment of differentiation.
Sanandana adai.
Sanandana adai.
By such personalities as the four Kumaras.
By such personalities as the four Kumaras.
Munibhi.
Munibhi.
By such great sages.
By such great sages.
Vibhavayam.
Vibhavayam.
Worshipable.
Worshipable.
Katham.
Katham.
How.
How.
Vimudaha.
Vimudaha.
Being fooled by the material nature.
Being fooled by the material nature.
Paribhavayami.
Paribhavayami.
Can I think of you.
Can I think of you.
Translation proper by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, the sages freed from the influence of three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanak, Sanandan and Sanatan, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? Purport. The word Svabhava refers to one's spiritual nature or the original constitutional position. When situated in this original position, the living entity is unaffected by the modes of material nature. Sagunan samtiti yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the four Kumaras and Narad. Such authorities can by nature understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a conditioned soul not freed from the influence of modes of material nature is unable to realize the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita 2.45, therefore Krishna advises Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtraigunya Bhava Arjuna. One must rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the three modes is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitayena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samanti Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pachayana. So this verse is continuation of the last verse, and of course, and Sagar Maharaj, the sons of Sagar, they are praying to Lord Kapila, glorifying him. And they are saying, Tam Tvam Aham Jnanaghanam Svabhava. The important point in this first line is that this word Tvam and Aham, they come together. Tvam means you, Aham means I. So well, we know that who is Krishna, we know who are we, but the emphasis in this purport, in this verse, is the comparison between God and living entity. That's why these two words are together, Tvam, Aham. So, and when you compare, you can know many things, which you cannot know just by independent knowledge of two objects. It's difficult to know. Like, for example, if I say that this student has got 60% marks, an exam. So, what do you make of it? Yeah, 60% marks, good. But if I say that all other students have got 90% marks, now what do you make of this? This means that the person who has got 60% marks is a failure. You get more information. By comparison, you get more information. So, this verse compares Krishna and us. And what is the comparison? This word is used, Jnana Ghanam. Prabhupada translates Jnana Ghanam as who is concentrated knowledge. Ghana means concentrated, Jnana means knowledge. Who is God? God is, who is Krishna? They say he is full of knowledge. Okay, fine. Who am I? So this word is used, Vimudha. That aham is connected to Vimudha. Who am I? I am full. So if you compare both of them, Krishna and us, what do you understand? You understand that soul, all the soul in scriptures, it is called Satchitanand. Prabhupada also says in Bhagavad Gita, soul is full of knowledge, eternity and bliss. But here Sagar Maharaj, the sons of Sagar say, no. Krishna, you are full of knowledge, you are full of eternity, you are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You know everything. That's your knowledge. Not about my knowledge. All those scriptures say that soul is full of knowledge. The meaning of that is that soul knows, Krishna knows everything and soul knows nothing. That's the meaning of full of knowledge. We are full of knowledge that Krishna is supreme, Krishna is a master. He knows everything. And in comparison to him, our knowledge is negligible. We are full. So when scripture says that soul is full of knowledge, that means soul has the knowledge that it is full. That's the knowledge. That's real knowledge. Real knowledge is not that I know everything. Real knowledge is I know nothing. That's the real knowledge. The soul can understand by his own realization that yes, Krishna is omniscient and whatever I know by his mercy. Otherwise, intrinsically, I am fool. That's why Brahma prays in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter. Jananti eva janantava kimme bahu kritam. Brahmaji says, people who say that they know you, let them know you. As far as I am concerned, I am fool. So that's reality. This is not just humbleness, that's reality. That we are like that. Illusion is that we think we know. That's the problem there. So Jnana Ghanam, this word Jnana Ghanam, now you understand, when we compare, now we understand. When you compare, then you understand. If you don't compare, then you end up like Jnanis, Mayavadis. When they read scriptures, scripture says, soul is Satchit Anand. It is full of knowledge, eternity, bliss. Yes, Aham Brahmasmi. They think like that. But when you compare yourself with God, then you understand He's an ocean and you're tap water, drop of water from tap. Now, well, drop has its own value, but when you go to ocean, it has absolutely no value. It's useless. What do you do with that? There's so much water there, no? So, but the question is, how to know God? How to understand God? How to understand this? How to get to this realization that God knows everything, I know nothing. He is supreme and I am fool. This realization is difficult because we don't think like that, no? We don't think like that. We think we know something. We don't think that we know nothing. So how to know God? that full of knowledge God. So now we don't know anything. Krishna knows everything. So how to know Him? That's the question, because intrinsically we are full. So that word is used, Subhava. Subhava, Prabhupada says, as Prabhupada writes in Purport, refers to own spiritual nature, original constitutional position. Now use the first step to know God is Subhava, to be situated in your constitutional position. This word comes in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in, I think, 14th chapter or maybe somewhere, Krishna says, Subhav Adhyatma Uchyate. Now, what is Subhava? What is spirituality? Spirituality means to be situated in your nature. That means Subhava. Swabhava. This Swasmin Bhava Bhakti. When you are situated in your own nature, in your own feelings, in your the feelings of soul, the thoughts of soul, that is called Subhava. Is it? Now we are situated in thoughts concerning mind, thoughts concerning intelligence. But we are not living on the platform of soul. We are not concerned with thoughts of soul and the feelings of soul. So Prabhupada says, Sagar Maharaj says, Prabhupada says there in Prabhupada, how to know God? First step is, be situated in your Subhava. That means that we have to understand that yes, I am full. Krishna knows everything, so what should I do? I should start serving Him. That's our Subhava, no? That's our nature. He is master, we are servant. He is great, we are small. He is Vibhu, we are Anu. He is controller, we are controlled. Niyanta, Niyamya. That's all word used by scriptures. So, yes, start by serving Him. Subhava, okay. And when you start serving Him, of course to serve Him you need some knowledge, is it? Some basic knowledge you need. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam. Krishna says to Arjun, Arjun, you understand, I am the source of everything. I am not just the source of everything. All motion comes from me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate. Whatever action in this world you see, whatever motion you see, that's because of me. Now there is an example given in this Bhagavatam. I think in 10th canto, 80th chapter something. You see, if you have an arrow, if you shoot an arrow, and you shoot an arrow and the arrow is going through the air, and somebody sees an arrow traveling through the air. Now a foolish person will say, or a scientist, it will say, arrow is traveling by its own own energy, no? And it's traveling. But a wise person knows that the arrow is traveling because of action of the shooter, no? Person who shot the arrow, he is with the arrow in form of energy. His energy. His energy is carrying the arrow forward, is it? So a wise person will, when he sees arrow, he will say, yes, this is that person. Just like, for example, when we hear in this example in Bhagavatam, in the first canto, when Ashwatthama shot an arrow, is it Brahmastra, on Parikshit. So when the arrow was coming, all Pandavas were confused. What is this arrow? It's coming to kill Parikshit. And Krishna told, this is Ashwatthama. See, Krishna could see in that arrow Ashwatthama. Pandavas could see arrow as arrow. Now this is the point, that when a person sees this, when a devotee, when a scientist sees this material world, they see this material world as material world. The motion, planets moving, everything is moving just like arrow, no? Planets are moving like an arrow. But when a wise people, when devotees see these planets moving around, they don't see the planets, they see Krishna. Krishna is moving them. There's a difference. So that's what Krishna says. You know this, I am the cause of everything, the cause of all causes. Iti matva bhajante mam. Start serving. This much basic knowledge we should have. That's all. And start serving Him. Okay, good. So why to serve Him? Because, well, we are full. Krishna is supreme. What else? What is option? You know? What else? What we have to do? There's no option. Better serve a person who knows everything. Better don't serve yourself and any other person who doesn't know anything. It's a risky business. So when you serve Krishna, situated in a constitutional position, then what happens? Prabhupada says, living entities unaffected by modes of material nature. Pradhvasta maya guna bheda mohai. Pradhvasta means destroyed. When we start serving Krishna, then the effect of modes of nature, they get destroyed, they start leaving us. That's a word, verse in Bhagavatam, first canto. Vidyate hide granthi, chidyante sarva samshaya, shiyante chasya karmani, param drishtva, adrishtvai vatmana ishvare. So that is a beautiful verse. When we start serving Krishna, three things happen. Vidyate hide granthi, all the knots, attachment starts breaking. Mode of passion gone. Vidyate hide granthi, chidyante sarva samshaya, all doubts are solved. Mode of ignorance finished. Shiyante chasya karmani, all our previous actions, karmas, are destroyed. Mode of goodness finished. All three modes gone. Ignorance, passion, and goodness. That's what this verse is saying. Maya guna, you are released from the influence of modes of material nature. And what happens? When you are released from influence of modes of material nature, bheda mohai. What maya does? Maya makes you confused by so many things around you. Now there's so many things. There's matter, there's beauty, there's knowledge. Scientists are confused because of knowledge. Too much knowledge, confusion. No? Science is becoming confused. And ordinary people, materialists, they're confused by too much matter around them. Glitter, glamour of the matter, is it? They're confused. So maya will confuse. Different, Prabhupada translates bheda mohe as exhibition of bewilderment of differentiation. Actually, this is a beautiful translation. Bheda mohe. Maya makes us see bhed. Differences. This is different. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So many planets. But maya doesn't let you see abhed. The unity behind all these things. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what's that verse? Sutre Manigana. What's that? How it starts? Sutre Manigana Eva. Maya Tatamitam Sarvam Jagat Avyakta Murtina. No. So Krishna says, I am the thread behind all the pearls. Now, suppose if you have that necklace, you can see pearls. Tick, 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 tick. Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. So Krishna, okay, fine. So if you have a garland, oh, you can see flowers, different flowers. Pink, yellow, green. There's differences, no? But an intelligent person will not only see flowers, but he can also see behind these flowers, thread. It is same throughout this flower, no? So this is differentiation. Different flowers, but there is something common in all of them. That is thread, which is keeping them together. That is what wise people see. Devotees, they are released from the influence of maya. And they can see Pandita Samadarshana. They can see a unity. Okay, Krishna is behind all these things. This is intelligence. And Prabhupada says, when you are released from the influence of modes of material nature, what happens? Prabhupada writes, he is situated on Brahman platform. That is the word Munibhi. Munibhi means people who are thoughtful, people who are situated on Brahman platform. When you get released from modes of material nature, you start thinking. Just like example is given. Four Kumaras, they were intelligent, no? Narad Muni. Muni means thinking. You start thinking. Okay, you start thinking. So here's a point. You can't think about God if you're not released from modes of material nature. That's the point which they are bringing here. So the first step to realize God is not thinking. The word is swabhava. First step in God realization is to serve Him. Philosophers do the exact opposite. To understand God, they start thinking first. And that's how they finally, some of them do suicide, others become mad, or they become depressed. Because you can't understand it by thinking. You can't understand everything by thinking. That was the premise here. Tam tuam aham jnana ghanam. Krishna is full of knowledge. By a small brain, first of all, you know nothing. You're a fool. And you're trying to understand everything. A fool is trying to understand everything. What will happen? He'll become crack, no? That's what is going to happen with him. So that's what philosophers, it happens with them. So this is the point here, bringing the point. That don't start thinking, start serving. When you start serving, iti matva bhajante mam, Buddha, then you have the capacity to start thinking. Buddha means intelligent. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it's difficult to think about God. Otherwise, if we start thinking about God without service, what will happen is we'll land up in contradictions. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, without service, anybody starts thinking, he starts reading big philosophy and, you know, so many things, he'll get confused. There'll be contradictions. He'll land up in the contradictions. We'll go mad. I've seen many people like that. Many people who are too much interested into philosophy, but they don't serve. They don't prepare their intelligence to receive that knowledge. It overwhelms them. They get confused. Why it's like that? Why it's like that? It's a confusion. So, that's why Krishna says, okay, first serve, then you have the capacity to think. Okay, but the point here is, don't we have to think for serving? No, if you have to serve Krishna, you have to think something, no? You have to know something about God. Otherwise, why will anybody serve Krishna? At least you have to know that Krishna knows everything. Something you have to think. So, what is a relationship? Actually, somebody asked Prabhupada in one of his letters. Prabhupada, should we simply love Krishna? Or should we try to understand him? Because Prabhupada in many lectures, he says, try to understand Krishna. No, he says no. Many people know God, but they don't know. Many people know God is great, but they don't know how he is great, Prabhupada says. So try to understand how he is great. In some of his lectures, Prabhupada says, in Bhagavatam Purport, Prabhupada says, don't try to understand Krishna. Simply love him. You cannot understand him. So what to do? Prabhupada, sometimes he's saying something, sometimes he's saying some things. And there is a big controversy here. It's not a small thing, because many people in Radhakund and Shyamkund, Vrindavan, they have this opinion. No, simply love Krishna. You can't understand him. Forget it. That's why people don't come to classes. Okay, why to understand so many things anyway? That's okay. Anyway, even after understanding, you have to do the same thing. So why to rack up brains and understanding, you know? Just keep on doing. But some people have this opinion, no, this is not good. If you serve without knowledge, then without understanding Krishna, it's sentimental. You can serve without understanding somebody, but the point is, you don't get as much effect as you do the same action with understanding. That is common sense, no? So there are two camps. And there's a fight, there's always a fight in all religions. Just like, even in ISKCON, we have Orthodox, liberals, and in Christianity you have Protestants, okay, Catholics, fine. In Islam you have Sunni and Shia. In Sri Vaishnavs you have Tenkalai, Vadakalai. In Madhvas also you have Dasa Sampradaya and Tirthas, mean the pontiffs. There is always a division. So they ask Prabhupada, okay, Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we understand Krishna or should we simply love him? How does Prabhupada reconcile both? You see contradiction? This is a contradiction. So devotees cannot understand. First Prabhupada told that it's so simple. Devotees told what? It was simple. Prabhupada says it's simple. You are fools because you can't understand properly. And then Prabhupada provided the answer. Does anybody know the answer? What's the answer for that?
Without properly understanding, love will not grow.
No, I'm asking, okay.
What is Prabhupada's response?
How do you reconcile what Prabhupada said? Simply love. Don't try to understand.
Without understanding, there cannot be proper love. That's what I'm saying.
No, no. But then you contradict Prabhupada's statement. No. You have to reconcile Prabhupada's statements. You see?
Each according to his capacity.
No. Do you understand the question, everybody? Understand the question? Now, the reconciliation means we have to get with the answer, some answer, which can satisfy both propositions. Prabhupada's both statements are correct, but they seem contradictory. Now, you have to reconcile them. You have to get some answer which will make both propositions right. How this is possible? Because both are contradictory, no?
So we can regard as much as we can.
I can't. What's that?
We can regard as much as we can about Krishna and all the servants.
But Prabhupada says, don't try to understand him. Simply love him. Then your answer goes against that proposition.
Because we can learn some and not fully understand.
Okay, you are saying, okay, fine. Prabhupada is saying, don't try to understand him fully. That's what okay. Yeah, you can give that answer. Prabhupada gives a more interesting answer. He gives perfect answer. Perfect. This is one of his lecture. I got that lecture. I was just finding, because there is a big controversy in ISKCON. There is a big thing going on. It will go on. It can never settle. But Prabhupada gives an answer, and I found this makes sense. Okay, Prabhupada gives an answer. I'll tell you. Prabhupada says, I said, don't try to understand Krishna, simply love him. But then I also said, try to understand him, and then you will develop love. And Prabhupada said, the answer is, you try to understand Krishna. When I said you don't try to understand Krishna, I said that you don't try to understand Krishna by your
speculation.
Try to understand Krishna how much he wants you to, how much he wants himself to be understood by you. Prabhupada said, you have to understand how much he wants you to understand about him. You see? So that's not your endeavor to understand. Krishna is telling about himself, you are receiving knowledge. Is it? So then Prabhupada says, so how do we understand? So what's the meaning? Simply read Gita and Bhagavatam. This much Krishna is telling, you should know. You don't need to know anything besides this. Simple. Don't try to understand Krishna means, don't try to do research. Your own research. Krishna is telling, I am like this, accept it. That's the meaning. Accept what Krishna says. Because if you try to do research, you'll land up in problems.
Yeah, Prabhupada also quotes the verse,
Rasoham Apsitam Teya. Yeah, Prabhupada quotes, so that's when Prabhupada says, don't try to understand Krishna. Simply love him. And when Prabhupada says, try to understand Krishna first, and then you will develop love, that simply means, you try to understand Krishna, okay. He is telling you, whatever he tells you, you try to understand. Whatever he doesn't tell you, don't put your brains there. Don't do that. There's so much knowledge in Upanishads of so many things. No, that much is enough. That's how Prabhupada reconciled. And this makes a lot of sense, is it? So Prabhupada reconciled both statements. Yes, you should know how much Krishna wants you to know through Bhagavad Gita and through Bhagavatam. And that's what Mahaprabhu says. Prabhupada says, read my books. Read my books. You don't need to read anything else. Your life will become perfect. Because how much Krishna is telling about himself, that is sufficient for us. For perfection. You don't need anything more. You don't need anything less. Just what we need, Krishna has given us. So we have to understand every word of at least Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if not Vedas and Upanishads and Itihas and Puranas. There's so many books there, no? So that's the point. So, okay, when you get released from words of material nature, you start thinking about him. Then you develop capacity to think about him. Muni Bhi, when you start thinking about him, then what happens? Then the word is used, Vibhavayam. Now, Vibhavayam means worshipable. Prabhupada translates as worshipable. Now, this word Vibhavayam, Bhava means emotions, is it? And V means special. So when you start thinking about Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, because we have done service to him, Now we are able to understand so many things, what he is telling. Then you develop attachment. When you develop attachment, you develop feelings for him. Bhava, vibhavam, emotions for him. And then you worship Krishna with emotions. This is the platform where our devotion, real devotion begins. Worship with emotions and feelings. That's what Krishna says. Iti matva bhasante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, when you serve me, bhajante, then you become intelligent, buddha. You get the capacity to think. Because your heart becomes pure, no? Your heart is pure, your heart is free from distractions of this material world, then you can close your eyes and think about Bhagavatam. If your heart is not free from distractions of what's a material nature, what are you going to think? You're going to be just in our own world, you know. So when we start thinking bhava, then we develop emotions for Lord. Because that thinking will bring us in contact with God. Is it? 24 hours we'll be thinking of Krishna. Automatically, we'll not be affected by distractions. You're walking, talking, everything, but still Krishna will be in the background of your mind. So then we get attachment and then emotions. And that's what a devotee is. Devotee worships Lord with emotions and feelings. Jnanis worship Lord by knowledge. Tapasvis worship Lord by austerities. Yogis worship Lord by sense control. Devotees worship Lord by feelings. So, Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that emotions are the natural ornaments of a Vaishnava. Is it? It makes devotee beautiful. No? Just like a female, females like to put ornaments, no? They want to become beautiful. So devotees like to put emotions, sattvic bhav, tears in the eyes, ashru, kamp, romance, no? Tears in the eyes, shivering of limbs, no? These are symptoms of ecstasy. This is what we want. Then we will look beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. Krishna wants to see us beautiful, no? Is it? Everybody wants to see beautiful girls. Or maybe girls want to see beautiful boys, whatever. So, Krishna wants to see beautiful devotees. It's the same thing, same psychology. But Krishna doesn't want to see us well-dressed. That is not the point. We have to be well-dressed, but not that well-dressed. I mean to say, in India, there's a concept. In India, if you go to Bengal, there's a upper sampradaya. You understand upper sampradaya? Deviated sect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they are devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They call themselves, but they are deviated sect. And they are called as Sakhi Bekis. What they do is, they say, yes, when we go in front of Krishna, we should look beautiful. So they dress very nicely. They dress very nicely. They do makeup, all females and males. And even if you go to India, Banke Bihari, you know Banke Bihari temple? All these pandas, they're pujaris, they dress very nicely, like extremely, what can we say?
Opulent
dress, shining and everything. And their logic is, yes, in front of Krishna we should look beautiful. But they are complete nonsense. That's a nonsense thing. You don't have to look beautiful like that. No, that's not beauty. We have to understand what is the definition of beauty of Krishna, not what is your definition of beauty. That's a wrong thing. Definition of beauty of Krishna is, he wants to see vibhavayam. Vibhavayam, this is vibhavayam. This is not vibhav. Vibhavayam, vibhavayam means ornamented with emotions. Bhavaya. No, we say bhavaya. Is any word? Krishnamaya. No, we say Krishnamaya. He is always, Radha is Krishnamaya. She is always thinking of Krishna. She is infused with Krishna. Krishna is Radhamaya. Krishna is always thinking of Radha. Every atom of Krishna is thinking of Radha. So devotee, when he starts thinking of Lord without distractions, he develops attachment and emotions. He becomes vibhavayam. He is surcharged with emotions for Lord. That's the idea. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, his entire body is pervaded with emotions, just like poison. Emotions become like poison. If you take a drop of poison, it will go into your blood, no? you're dead. So similarly, when a devotee chants holy names, he serves Krishna, all the feelings, they spread from the heart to all his body. Every atom becomes charged with emotions. Intense desire to serve Krishna. Intense desire to meet Krishna. Intense desire to make Krishna happy by feelings and by emotions. This is what is devotion all about. So these are the steps which Sagar Maharaj is helping us to understand. But they are saying, katham vimudha. But the word is vimudha. They are saying, well, we can't understand all these things. A person who is vimudha, you understand this word vimudha? Vimudha nanu pashyanti pashyanti gana chakshusha. Vimudha, mudha means fool. Vimudha means special fool. He's a special fool. Who is a special fool? Prabhupada says, a special fool is that person who thinks himself to be intelligent. You know, a fool is a fool. But if a fool starts thinking himself intelligent, he becomes special fool. No, he's special out of all fools. He's a fool, but he's thinking I'm intelligent. It's complete nonsense. So, who is a fool? Who is special fool according to Krishna? Vimudha nanu pashyanti. Yeah? You are everywhere. I don't think so. We all are special fools. According to Krishna, special fool is nanu pashyanti, who cannot see. Who cannot see the difference between spirit and matter. He is fool. That's all. He is special fool. So, who cannot see difference between between service and sense gratification. We were talking yesterday. He's a special fool. Simple. Prabhupada writes in his purport to that Vimudha Nanu Pashyanti, Pashyanti Gana Chakshusha. Who cannot see the process of reincarnation, no? How soul leaves a body, takes another body. He has no idea. So, according to Krishna, all scientists, big PhD, MD, they are all fools. They cannot understand anything about spirit. They are fools. And in fact, on the other hand, Gaur Kishoras Babaji, who was illiterate, he is the most intelligent man because he can see what is the difference between spirit and matter. So that's what this word Vimudha is used. Who are special fools? Just like materialists. There are two people who are special fools. Materialists who have knowledge of matter and Mayavadis who have knowledge of spirit. Both are fools. Because materialists think everything is matter. Mayavadis think everything is spirit. So they are fools. Intelligent person knows the discrimination between spirit and matter. Both matter and spirit. So that is Vimudha, is it? So who is more Vimudha? Mayavadis or materialist?
Mayavadis.
Actually, yeah, Vimudha. One person considers everything matter. Krishna is also matter, low. Another person, Mayavadi, is saying everything is spirit. This table is also spirit. So both are extremes now. Both are fools. But Mayavadis are probably more fools because they can understand spirit. To understand spirit is one step beyond, you know. We see everything matter, we don't see spirit. Somehow by their austerities, Aruya, Prichena, Parampadam, Tatha, by the austerities, they have understood what is spirit, but then they have messed up with their speculation, everything is spirit. That's the point. Both are fools. Intelligent person, he knows discrimination. Spirit, matter. Ashutut, spirit, reject matter. Reject matter. So, people who are mools, mooda, vimuda, paribhavam, paribhavyami. And Prabhupada says, they can never think of Krishna. It's impossible. Because they have not done service to Krishna. Because of that, they are not free of modes of material nature. And because of that, they can't think of Krishna. Because of that, they don't have attachment. Because of that, they don't have love. Vibhavayam. They don't have emotions. And because of having no emotions, they are living dead. Is it? People who don't have emotions, what do you call them? Dead. What is that? This is no emotions, you know. They are nonsense. Is it? Some people, no emotions. You're living or dead, or what's happened to you, you know? So that's why Bhagavatam says, people who don't have emotions for God, they are living dead. That's all. That they are dead people. How can a dead person think? Is it? That's why they say, Vimura pari bhavyam. Oh, this is wrong. Yeah, bhavyami. That's what I was wondering, you know. Yeah, pari bhavyami. So they cannot think of Krishna. They are dead. So that's this verse all about. And so now Prabhupada mentioned in his purport. Now what should we do? What's our action plan? Now we understand how to understand God. We also understand who cannot understand God. So what should we do? Now we have to understand God. Now we have to get some action plan from this verse. Otherwise, what's the use of reading everything? So Prabhupada says in purport. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore Krishna advises Arjuna. Tray gunya vishaya veda nis tray guna bhava Arjuna. Arjun, therefore, because of the actions of motives of material nature, you cannot love, you cannot think, you cannot do anything, get beyond modes of material nature. Tray gunya vishaya veda nis tray guna bhava Arjuna. Don't be entangled in these modes of material nature, the topics of modes of material nature which are mentioned in Vedas, which you are thinking, all this crap and nonsense. Don't be entangled. Nishtray guna bhava Arjuna. Go beyond modes by the process of service. Bhaktya mama vivicharani bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samtityan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. 14:26. Just bhaktya mama vivicharani by bhakti, by service, go beyond modes of material nature. And then you can understand. That's what is our immediate goal. So devotion has, we have two goals, is it? We are doing devotion now, what's your goal? It is said, love is our goal, is it? Krishna prem pumartho mahan. But that's a long-term goal. What is our immediate goal? To get beyond modes. Prabhupada says so many times, come in mode of goodness first, is it? Then go beyond mode of goodness, then you can understand God. Prabhupada says, then you can understand God. That's our immediate goal, long-term goal. Both things are mentioned in this purport. And Prabhupada is inspiring us. Sagar Maharaj is inspiring us. They're glorifying Krishna. Krishna, you are so nice. Prabhupada says, only gentleman can understand God. Prabhupada says, gentleman. Gentleman means we're beyond modes. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? I'll stop.
Prabhuji,
yes?
Can you explain maybe briefly outline what is serving? Yesterday in the whole program you talked about serving.
Service, yeah.
This morning you talked about serving Krishna.
Yeah. It's serving, yeah. Serving is a... we can talk about it, like keep on talking, but in one sentence, somebody asked Prabhupada, what is service? Prabhupada said once, so they asked Prabhupada, what is Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada gave many answers at many instances. This Krishna consciousness, this Krishna consciousness, this Krishna consciousness, what is service? So once devotee asked, Prabhupada says, service means desire. Desire. Service starts with desire. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That's service. Nobody can serve Krishna without desire, no? That's the main component in service, the spirit of service. Is it? We were discussing yesterday, on that day. Prabhupada says in one of his letters, Krishna doesn't really see your service. Krishna sees the spirit of service. How you are serving Him, with what intentions, with what desire. And that Krishna sees, and that, then Krishna rewards. But on the other hand, desire without actions make no sense, is it? I desire to serve Krishna, but I don't do anything. We are in our room, on our bed. Prabhu, what happened? I want to serve Krishna. And not doing nothing, it doesn't make sense. No, that doesn't make any sense. It's just lip service. So a wife will say to husband, my dear husband, I want to do so much for you, but I am getting sleep, you cook yourself. Tomorrow you wash your clothes. But make it a point. I want to serve you by my soul, by my heart. That doesn't make sense. So desire should be coupled with actions. Desire should be expressed by actions, is it? So girlfriend loves boyfriend. Yes, I love you, I desire you. So boyfriend says, the girlfriend says, okay, can you show me? Okay, fine. Yes, there is a flower. So you have to express your desire, is it? So express desires by actions. And that is where the role of action comes in service. But why I am putting like this is to understand that desire precedes action. Desire is more important than action. Because sometimes people think, okay, we are doing something for Krishna. Why are we not getting mercy? Because there's a problem with that desire. So desire expresses as action. So what are the actions we can do for Krishna? Prabhupada says, Krishna has provided you many services. So nine types of services we know. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. You know, somebody asked Prabhupada, why Krishna has given nine types of services? Why? What did Prabhupada say? Any answer? You know? Prabhupada gives very practical answer. Very practical. Many times. So if somebody asks you, why does Krishna say so many varieties of services? Nine types. Choose. So what did Prabhupada say? What do you say?
It's Krishna's mercy.
Okay, good. Krishna's mercy, yeah?
We all are individual. We have our own nature.
Okay, I accept that. Okay, fine. Any other answer? Prabhupada's answer, you know, Prabhupada's answer is a very practical answer. These are good answers, but these are a little theoretical. Prabhupada's answers are interesting. Yes, what do you say?
Nine types of service for nine types of people.
Yeah, but Prabhupada answers, that's my question. So Prabhupada says, you know, Prabhupada said, why Krishna gave you nine types of services? So many services Krishna gave you because you don't get bored. Unless you get bored doing one thing. Is it? You get bored, you know. You can't chant always. It's impossible. So there's variety. Krishna likes variety. Krishna is interesting. He makes his service interesting. But you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. And that's what we are doing, no? Otherwise, we can't do. We get bored. We leave Krishna consciousness. So that is action in service. There's desire in service. But then there's a third component. You're desiring, you're acting, but you have to remember that desire and action should make Krishna happy. Otherwise, everything gets useless. So much endeavor to buy a flower bouquet for a girlfriend, and you buy and you take to a girlfriend flower bouquet, and then she says, I'm not pleased. And you say, what I'm doing? Is it the parents? You know, parents do so much for the children, and children say, come on, Papa, I don't, I'm not pleased with you. What are you doing for me? And then parents say, what I'm doing, you know, why I'm doing for him? You know, whole life I've been working for him. What's the use of that, is it? It all becomes useless. So third component is, we should desire in such a way, we should act in such a way so that it pleases God. That's very important. Because in spiritual world, sometimes it happens. Okay, fine. What is most important, desire, action or pleasing? Now tell me. What is the most important in service?
Pleasing. Goal.
Okay, whatever you answer, give me a reason. Otherwise, we can see all answers. Desire, pleasing, action. So, I have to choose the answer.
Desire to please.
Desire to please. No, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Now tell me.
Action, because action would please him.
Pleasing is it.
Okay, I'll. You know what? Sometimes what happens? You see altar? Altar? Radha Krishna? Radha doing something? Nothing. Krishna is doing something? No. They are like picture, you know. They are posing like anybody takes. Okay. Sometimes in spiritual world, Radha is sitting with Krishna, just sitting, nothing, doing nothing. Krishna is pleased? Yes. Is it? It happens, no? In material world also. A boyfriend is sitting with girlfriend whole day in the park, doing nothing. No action. But still, both are pleased. The fact she is sitting, they are pleased. So sometimes, actions, no actions, but yet there is devotion. Is it? It can happen like that. You understand? It can happen like that. So actions are important, but not as important as the tendency, the desire to please Krishna, that pleasing tendency. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Is it? Because you know what? I'll tell you. For example, if you do something for Krishna, okay, fine. If you don't want to please somebody, and unknowingly if he becomes pleased by our actions. Is it? So that's a good thing, no? That's a good thing. The aim is to please. And if you plan, if you desire and the person is not pleased, it's all waste. So target, that's a please. You have to please Krishna. Always remember that. To please him. But of course, you can't please anybody without actions and desire. Is it? You can't please anybody. So that is where all three go together. But our focus is on pleasing God. That's more important. By our desire, by our actions. That's what Rupa Goswami says. Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Iti Bhakti Ruttama. Anukulena means pleasing. Krishnanu Shilanam means desire and actions. And yesterday I told that how do we know Krishna is pleased? How do we know Krishna is pleased? Of course. Yeah. Krishna is pleased, and Krishna is pleased, we'll get attachment from this material world. We'll be free of modes of material nature. This is Maya Gunai Veda Mohe. That's the point. We'll get free of lust, anger, greed. We'll get free of craving for this flesh, what we have. We'll get free of cravings for this matter, which is almost impossible. We're living in this flesh. How do you get free of that desire, that craving? This is how we know Krishna is pleased. Krishna, by his mercy, Krishna will lift our soul to him. Our consciousness, he'll lift our consciousness from this body to his lotus feet. That's what Chaitanya Charitamrita it says. Krishna smaran jar, deha smaran nahiyar. You'll start forgetting your body. Bodily consciousness. You'll get, Prabhupada said, if Krishna is pleased, if your devotion is nice, you will conquer sleep and thirst and hunger. No? Prabhupada says that. You'll conquer sleep, thirst and hunger. It will not hamper your services. That's what Prabhupada said. That's in small thing. Anyway, yes.
When we talk about the three gunas, sorry,
go ahead. You first.
Yeah.
When we talk about the three gunas, sattva is a major component. So, can you clarify that the devotees should have the qualities of sattva guna and then some, right? And not the opposite of sattva guna. You know, so that means that a devotee has to have the qualities of sattva guna by being truthful, honest.
Oh, you're mentioning. Okay, fine. I got your point.
Please restate the question.
Okay, the question is, Prabhu is asking, that do devotees have to be situated in mode of goodness? Because the verse says you have to go beyond modes. So obvious conclusion of devotees is, okay, beyond modes. So no goodness, no bad, no good, nothing. Do whatever you want. So that's what happens now. So the question is, do we have to be in mode of goodness? So the point is, actually the point here is, Prabhupada once said in Nectar of Instruction, he says, first you have to come to mode of goodness, then you have to go beyond it. But many times Prabhupada says go beyond modes. Is it? Many times he says directly beyond modes. Krishna consciousness will take you directly beyond modes. Mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. But here's the point. We have to understand what is mode of goodness, and we have to understand what do you mean by beyond modes. So there is called Satogun. Satogun means mode of goodness. Beyond modes is Shuddha Sattva. Okay? So in mode of goodness and beyond modes, everything is same. There is no difference. Even a person who is beyond modes, he is practicing all those which are in mode of goodness. He is truthful. What is mode of goodness? Truthfulness, is it? Satyam, speak truth. Saucham, cleanliness. Prabhupada is saying, be clean. Tapa, austerities. Mercy, generosity, arjavam, simplicity, fearlessness, non-violence, all this list. The difference between mode of goodness and beyond modes is just one. Everything is same. What is the difference? That difference is?
One is to satisfy one's senses, yes. The other is to satisfy.
Yes. In mode of goodness, there is selfishness. Selfish. In mode, beyond modes, it is selfless. In mode of goodness, the person is trying to become good to satisfy himself. That's the point. To get peace and happiness for himself. But beyond modes, you are becoming good to satisfy Krishna. But nevertheless, you have to become good. That's the point. That's why Prabhupada says in many of his purports, yes, we have to try to develop qualities which are in mode of goodness. It's important to develop all these good qualities, because these good qualities will help us serve Krishna better. And in fact, Prabhupada also says, all these good qualities will automatically manifest if we serve Krishna. Will automatically manifest. But the point here is, where Krishna will give you all good qualities if you serve Him. If you are not getting good qualities and yet you are serving Him, this means what? If you are serving Him, if you are not getting good qualities, this means what?
The motive is...
Huh?
You are not serving Him.
Yeah, this means Krishna is not getting pleased. If Krishna is getting pleased, we'll get all good qualities, is it? But the point is, Krishna will give you the gift of good qualities, but your endeavor is to carry them, protect them. Just like Krishna gives gift of child, you don't get child by your own endeavor, no. Krishna gives you gift baby. But then he says, okay, I've given you a gift of baby, but now you have to nurture him, take care of him. So Krishna will give you all good qualities, automatically manifest, but you have to be careful to guard it. If you don't guard good qualities, just as it has come, it will go away. So that's why what happens. When we start serving Krishna, yes, devotees automatically become merciful. They speak truth. But if you're not attentive, what will happen? All these good qualities will go away. And again devotees will become... That's why we see many devotees, no? They don't have good qualities. Is it? They don't have... They shout... They can't speak properly. Sometimes they are violent. People say, come on, devotion is not... It's wrong. Devotion is wrong. Krishna, we heard, automatically all good qualities are coming. But there's no good quality. He's serving for 20 years, no good quality. No. Krishna gave him the gift, but he destroyed it by his own foolishness. So, like a baby, we have to safeguard our good qualities, because there are so many bad people who can confuse us. So that's the point there. So we have to nurture them. Krishna will give you some realization what is truth. And then you have to nurture, you have to practice truth. Krishna will give you some realization what is mercy. Is it? We don't have any realization what is mercy. And then you have to nurture that mercy. You have to nurture it, you have to take it forward so that Krishna becomes more pleased. That is our part. So that's, you understand that that's a problem solved. Yes.
Do scientists deny subjectivity, or do they try to, they don't trust them? Because it seems like scientists have to use technology, and it's often because they're guided by material motives, they cheat. And
so what's the question?
It's not reasonable. I think last night you were saying that scientists are trying to be objective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Subjectivity. But their subjectivity, every scientist has a subjective nature.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, yeah, so...
trying to deny subjectivity, or they just don't trust it.
Yeah, so that's the foolishness of them. They are using their subjectivity, but at the same time, they say subjectivity is not scientific. It's... Science do not deal with subjectivity. You keep it aside. Their proposal is this. We don't want to analyze subjectivity by science. If you want to analyze subjectivity, go to religion and philosophy. They don't deny it, but they don't deal with it. That's their proposal. That's all. Mataji, you wanted to ask something or what?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it that because we are in contact with material nature, or the material bodies, we are fools, or we are going to be eternally special fools?
We are fools or we are special souls like that?
Yes, or is it going to be eternally fools?
Yeah, okay, fine. Actually, that's the point which this verse is waking up. Actually, eternally soul is fool. It doesn't know anything. Whatever it knows, whatever we know, that is also due to mercy of Krishna. In itself, it knows nothing. It has capacity to do nothing. That's, we are like that. See, we are in this body, no? Is it? We can't even move our hand by our own capacity. Krishna gives a power. We can't even know ourselves when we are sleeping. That's soul. Such a dumb thing. So we are like that. So that's what Brahma says. Brahma says in one of his purports in Bhagavatam. He says, when Narad Muni comes, Brahma says, Narad, you think that I am omniscient? Brahma knows everything, no? Brahma says, no, Narad, I am number one fool. Whatever omniscience I have, it's due to Krishna. So there is one verse in Skanda Puran, and it says, if Krishna, what do we say? If Krishna takes back his mercy, yeah, this would be some good word. If Krishna takes back his mercy, even Brahma and Shiva will become dog eaters. They'll fall down. So we are eternally fool. We are not special. And that is, if we can understand we are eternally fool, we become special in the eyes of Krishna. That is, we are like that. Sooner we understand we are like that, sooner Krishna will. Krishna likes such people, no? Who accept Krishna, I don't know anything. Please guide me. Krishna says, okay, good. And if we tell to Krishna, Krishna, okay, I know something. Krishna says, okay, then try. You know something? Try it. And then we take another birth. We try something, no? We try something in some birth. And then we fail. And then we say, Krishna, my God, I was thinking I knew this, but I did a wrong thing. And the day we say, Krishna, I don't know nothing. I know nothing. I know you and your mercy. Please lift me. I know about you, how much you told me. Beyond that, I don't know. That time Krishna will lift us and take us back. That's all.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so that's it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.